How now, brown cow? All things being equal, we are having a good day and about to read the Ford County Chronicle. Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Lots of news on the front page of this week's Ford County Chronicle, and we will begin with a story from Gibson City. Cleanup of naked gunman scorched home eyed. City seeking demolition order against David D. Jordan, who vanished after shooting two cops. Gibson City. Several lime green cones, each inscribed with City of Gibson, lined the roadway last Wednesday morning near the dead end of Ash Street in a cul-de-sac at the city's southwest edge. On a property just beyond the barrier sat a pile of scorched debris, once the home of a now infamous resident, David D. Jordan, but now an unsafe and unsightly mess. The residents at 146 West Ash Street in the Sender subdivision suddenly went up in flames moments after the 70-year-old Jordan shot two law enforcement officers who were responding to a complaint that he was walking around in his yard naked during the early morning hours of Saturday, August 9th. In the nearly 14 weeks since, authorities have been searching for Jordan, who mysteriously disappeared after the shooting, but have been unable to find him. Meanwhile, the rubble that was once his home remains an unsafe eyesore, one that the city is working to clean up. Those cones in the road are there to remind people to stay off the property as the city awaits a judge's order allowing demolition and cleanup to proceed. Safety is number one, of course, and then the neighborhood. You want it to look nice, and I'm sure the neighborhood would appreciate that getting cleaned up, Mayor Dan Dickey said. So that's kind of our goal. On behalf of the city, Attorney James Green of the Champaign law firm Thomas Mammer, LLP, filed a complaint seeking a demolition order in Ford County Circuit Court in early November. Since Jordan's whereabouts remain unknown, Jordan is being served notice of the civil action through the publication of a legal notice in the Ford County Chronicle. The November 12th notice warns that default judgment may be entered if no answer to the complaint is filed by Jordan within 30 days. If judgment were to be granted, the city would have a lien placed on the property equal to its incurred costs. The city has also requested authority to foreclose on the lien and sell the property, according to the civil complaint. The complaint was filed after a letter was sent to Jordan a few weeks earlier, on October 2nd, notifying him of a 15-day deadline to clean up the property. If you fail to do this within 15 days, then the city will be allowed to seek a court order authorizing the city to remove the remnants of your house and any other burnt-down structures on the premises, including all building materials, the letter from Green stated. A second civil case also remains pending against Jordan in Ford County Circuit Court. The lawsuit, filed in late September by Jordan's next-door neighbor, Kyle Shippard, seeks in excess of $50,000 in damages to replace his garage and repair his home, both of which were damaged in the fire that destroyed Jordan's residence. Shippard is being represented by attorney Michael Fenger of the Bloomington law firm Kraft, Wood & Kelly, who filed a motion last month to allow for service by special court order in lieu of traditional methods. A hearing on that motion is set for 9:15 a.m. Wednesday, December 3rd. The defendant in this matter is a fugitive, the motion says. Service upon the defendant is impractical, considering that law enforcement has been unable to locate him. Furthermore, it is not reasonable to ask a process service to personally serve the defendant, considering authorities have told citizens not to approach the defendant if located, because he is considered armed and dangerous. As of this week, Illinois State Police have no further information to release publicly regarding their search for Jordan. In late August, state police said they did not believe there to be an active threat to the public, although they previously said he should be considered armed and dangerous. According to Dickey, most people in the Western Ford County community of 3,475 are not worried about Jordan returning to Gibson City. No longer are people anxious or scared, he said. When it first happened, the incident, people were nervous, Dickey said. But I don't think they are now. I think probably most people think he's somewhere else. Where that is, I have no idea. That's kind of the consensus as far as I can tell. Dickey said he believes law enforcement are still actively working to find Jordan, who was last seen unclothed and may be seen with a red bicycle, state police said in an initial news release. I think they're probably doing everything they can to bring resolution, Dickey said, but we're just not there yet. State police said the two officers shot by Jordan, a Gibson City police officer and a Ford County Sheriff's deputy, sustained non-life-threatening injuries. The deputy, a six-year veteran of the sheriff's office, was shot in the left knee and left arm, while the Gibson City officer, who served for 1 year, was shot in the left hip. Dickey said efforts are being made to ensure they are recognized with commendations for their heroism. That's a possibility, Dickey said. I have already talked to Chief Rosendahl. Anybody with information about Jordan's whereabouts is asked to call their local police department or submit a tip via the State Police Crime Tip website. Back on the front page, we have a story from the Paxton Buckley Lota School Board. Headline reads, Next Man Up. Pontiac principal named PBL superintendent. Paxton. John Kilgore admittedly got emotional as he introduced his longtime colleague, Eric Bohm, during the Paxton Buckley Lota School Board's monthly meeting on Wednesday, November 12th, moments before the board approved Bohm's hiring as the school district's next superintendent. There was no need for Kilgore to apologize, even though he did so anyway, following the board's 5-0 vote. There was a good reason, after all, that Kilgore was choked up, holding back tears. For many years, Kilgore worked alongside Bohm at Pontiac Township High School, where Bohm had been employed for 20 years, including as principal since 2012, and Kilgore was employed for 22 years, including as superintendent for 13, before retiring last summer, and then being appointed on September 10th as PBL's interim superintendent for the remainder of this school year. I'm just so proud of him, Kilgore said, his voice trembling with emotion. We've been through a lot. Selected as the top choice from 5 applicants for the job, Bohm will have an initial 3-year contract as superintendent. The contract will pay Bohm an annual salary of $150,000 for 2026-27, $156,000 for 2027-28, and $162,240 for 2028-29. Kilgore said he encouraged Bohm to apply after a search for candidates to lead the district started July 1, 2026, was launched in August with the help of Illinois Association of School Boards Executive Search Committee. However, Kilgore said he was really surprised and pleased that Bohm would end up being the board's top choice, a decision made, quote, on their own, without my involvement, unquote, he noted, following a series of closed-door interviews. It was frustrating for me that I didn't know what was going on, but he earned it all on his own, without me having undue influence on the board, Kilgore told board members. So while it was a little awkward, you actually did that to save me awkwardness, and I appreciate that, Kilgore told Bohm. Bohm's hiring as superintendent is not the first time he has followed in Kilgore's footsteps. In July 2012, Bohm replaced Kilgore as principal at Pontiac Township High School as Kilgore transitioned from a 5-year stint as principal to the superintendent's role. From August 2009 to July 2012, Bohm was the school's assistant principal, a position previously held by Kilgore from 2003 when he arrived in Pontiac to 2005. This is a really unique thing because when I became principal at Pontiac High School, he was my assistant principal, Kilgore told the board. And then I became superintendent. I spent 13 years as superintendent at Pontiac Township High School, and Eric was my high school principal. So I really envisioned this happening in a different town, at Pontiac, but the timing was off when I retired. On Wednesday, though, the timing was just right. I'm proud of you, Eric, Kilgore told Bohm, who became an administrator after working as a social studies teacher at Pontiac Township High School from 2005 to 2009, and at Flanagan High School during the 2004-2005 school year. I'm so excited to hand you the baton here, even as interim, and anytime you need me, I'll be there. After Kilgore's remarks, Bohm told a bit about himself and his varied and wide-ranging professional experience. I was in the military. I've been a truck driver. I've been a sailor. I've been a mechanic, Bohm said. I've done a lot of different things before I got into education. I've only been in education for 21 years, but I think I have a lot of skills that can fit in with this community, with the blue-collar roots that are here, and be proud of what comes through this building. Native of Cornell, Illinois, a Livingston County village of 446 between Pontiac and Streator, Bohm served in the U.S. Coast Guard from 1991 to 1995 as a boarding officer in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, and as a fireman and engineer in East Peoria. According to a copy of his resume that he provided to the Ford County Chronicle, Bohm was honorably discharged from the military and then worked as a Class A truck driver for a year at GTT Incorporated, TMC, and Gulf Oil, and then as a John Deere service technician at Cross Implement in Minier, Illinois, for 2.5 years, then as a library assistant and peer tutor at Heartland Community College in Normal for a year, then as a Class A truck driver for James Don's Boom Truck Delivery in Streator for 5 months, then as a graduate assistant from August 2002 to December 2003, in the Department of History at Illinois State University in Normal. Bohm's educational degrees include a Master of Science in Educational Administration from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston in May 2009, a Master of Science in History from Illinois State University in December 2003, a Bachelor of Science in Political Science from ISU in December 2001, and an Associate of Arts from Heartland Community College in August of 2000. Bohm anticipates obtaining a specialist degree in education next May from EIU. Bohm and his wife Michelle have been married for 28 years and have one son, Gabriel. Bohm's interests and hobbies include camping, yard work, woodworking, staying active through cycling, and attending extracurricular events. Bohm said he plans to move to Paxton, a place he already feels at home. As we drove around, we felt at home here, Bohm told the board. As we visited places within the community, we felt a connection. Bohm just learned of another connection, too, though. What's interesting is my father came to Paxton to register for the draft, Bohm told the board. He told me the other day, and my family are from Kempton, so we have a connection to Ford County. In his role as superintendent, Bohm said he looks forward to influencing the education of kids of all ages rather than only teenagers like he does currently at the high school level. I've never worked with the littles, but I'm looking forward to pre-K all the way through, Bohm told the board. I am so excited to be able to have influence on all the education in the district. Turning to school staff members in attendance, Bohm said, I know you didn't come here to hear me speak, but I really appreciate what you do, all of you, on a daily basis, and I hope that comes through when I'm walking in the halls. It's all authentic. I'm not trying to spy on anybody. I want to know you, and I want to help you get better at whatever it is you do." Bohm's resume, as provided to the Chronicle, states that his objective is to leverage my extensive educational leadership and management experience to be fiscally responsible, build positive relationships, improve student learning, and foster an inclusive, safe school environment. In a prepared statement provided to the Chronicle at the end of the meeting, Bohm said, "I feel honored to have been selected to lead Paxton Buckley's CUSD-10. Together, we are going to be mission-driven and build upon the district's strong foundation of focusing on academic excellence through a rigorous and relevant curriculum." Before Kilgore began serving as PBL's interim superintendent in mid-September, the school district had been without a superintendent since July 1st, the day after Travis Dooley unexpectedly vacated the position after only 2 years in the role. Dooley's resignation came amid an investigation into complaints of alleged misconduct by longtime teacher and former coach Robert Pacey, and just a few weeks after the school board was urged to look further into the situation and hold administrators accountable for not promptly suspending Pacey and notifying the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. In the weeks after Dooley resigned, a series of lawsuits were filed in Ford County Circuit Court, naming five defendants: Pacey, Dooley, former Superintendent Cliff McClure, the school district, and PBL Junior High School Principal Josh Didier. Bohm said he wanted the job, though, even when others might not, according to Kilgore. "I knew he was interested and was going to apply," Kilgore said. "So I said, you know what? With all the things you see on Facebook, when you walk through the halls and you see those colors and you see people doing their thing in classrooms and you see kids walking through the hallways and they're behaving themselves and they're having pride in the PBL Panthers and you see great teachers and a team, I said, you need to apply for that job." And I said that to other candidates who asked me as well. I had people out here telling me I should stay away from here with a 100-foot pole. They were so wrong, so wrong. I'm glad that he applied. Applications from superintendent candidates were due Friday, October 3rd. The position was listed with a salary range of $130,000 to $160,000, up from Dooley's salary of $129,470. Dooley replaced McClure as superintendent in 2023 after McClure spent 20 years at the helm. Voting in favor of the three-year contract with Bohm were board members Don Batchold, Christine Johnson, Jason Rust, Joshua Mullins, and Brittany Malding. Absent were Craig Lotion and Grant Kleinsteiber. "Welcome, sir," Batchold told Bohm after the vote. "Sorry I got emotional," Kilgore said to laughs. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, November 19th. Jill Karen Berwitz, Gibson City. "With heavy hearts, we announce the passing of our dear mother, daughter, sister, fiance, and friend, Jill Karen Utterback Berwitz of Pawnee. In place of flowers, the family requests that donations be made to the Pawnee Food Pantry in Pawnee. A celebration of Jill's life will be held at a later date, and cremation is being provided by the Lincoln Land Cremation Society." Larry E. Carter, Paxton. Larry E. Carter, 66, of Paxton, died Friday, November 14th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of his life will be at a later date. Beverly J. Jones, Elliot. Beverly J. Jones, 86, of Elliot, died Wednesday, November 12th at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. Funeral services were held Friday, November 21st at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, followed by burial at the Elliott Cemetery in Elliott. Memorial contributions may be made to the Elliott Fire Protection District or St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Timothy J. Keene, and that is spelled K-E-I-N, Gibson City. Timothy J. Keene, 58, of Gibson City, died Monday, November 10th, surrounded by his family at OSF St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. Funeral services were held Monday, November 17th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the family to be divided amongst some of his favorite organizations. Robert G. Killian, Paxton. The Reverend Robert G. Killian, 92, of Paxton, died at 5:34 p.m. Sunday, November 16th, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, November 22nd, at Pax Naz, 302 West State Street in Paxton, with the Reverend Adam Wood officiating. Burial will follow in Glen Cemetery in Paxton with military honors. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, November 21st, at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, and at Pax Naz from 9:30 to 10 a.m. Saturday, November 22nd. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Buckley Lota Softball Program or the New Life Church Nazarene Youth Conference. Robert R. Stevens, Normal. Robert R. Stevens, 51, of Normal, died Saturday, November 15th at the McLean County Nursing Home, where he had been a resident since 2023. Visitation will be from 9 to 10 a.m. Monday, November 24th, at the Eastview Christian Church in Normal. Funeral services will follow at 10 a.m. at the church. Burial will follow at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Eastview Christian Church in Normal. Robert J. Trantina, Gibson City. Robert J. Trantina, 83, of Gibson City, formerly of Lockport, died Friday, November 7th, at his home. Funeral services were held Wednesday, November 19th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with followed by burial at the Drummer Township Cemetery. Evelyn Wachtstetter, Foosland. Evelyn E. Wachtstetter, 96, of Foosland, formerly of Indiana, died Friday, November 14th, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City, with family at her side. Funeral services were held Thursday, November 20th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, followed by burial at Mount Hope Cemetery in Foosland. Memorials may be made to the Lebanon Children's Home in Lebanon, Indiana. We'll return to the news with some short stories from area communities. Cindy's Roadside Cafe in Buckley. Popular diner in Buckley closing December 31st. Buckley. Cindy and Ron Thiemann announced Saturday that they plan to close the doors to their cafe in Buckley at the end of this year, after not even a full year in business. They opened Cindy's Roadside Cafe on February 17th at 310 South Railroad Avenue, several blocks south from where the rural Danforth couple once owned and operated the popular Buckley Market and Deli on the village's north edge. The Thielmans previously spent 13 years running the Happy Days Diner in Roberts. The last day of our ownership is regrettably December 31st, due to us both needing some medical maintenance, the couple said in a Facebook post. We have been truly blessed to serve this community and hope you will come and see us in a few more times. The diner building's owner, Jordan Weber, is now looking to find a new restaurant to rent the space. Those interested can contact Weber at 765-430-2309. We have had great success and support in the Buckley area and hope someone will continue our legacy here, the Thielmans said. If you're interested, please reach out to Jordan. 65 years ago, the Crystal Motel and Restaurant held its grand opening at the location in Buckley on US 45, just after the restaurant motel building was built. Since that January 1960 date, the front portion of the building has always been used as a restaurant, with the back area used either as a motel or apartments. Prior to Cindy's Roadside Cafe moving in, the restaurant area was the home of Wildfire Pizza and Grill until its closure last year. And from the Loda Village Board, one-time town president hopeful tells trustees, watch yourselves. Loda. Iroquois County Sheriff's deputies were called to Village Hall during the Village Board's monthly meeting on Wednesday, November 12th, after resident J.R. Tasek, a former trustee who recently ran unsuccessfully for the village president's post, accused trustees of breaking the Open Meetings Act and told them to watch yourselves as he pointed to each, repeating you and you. Speaking during the public comment portion of the meeting, Tasek said the village was not posting its meeting agendas at least 48 hours in advance of its meetings. But village clerk Brianna Coffey said that was not true. Tasek said he had predicted after the last election that the new board members would, quote, hang themselves in 6 months, unquote. This is the 6 months, and I'm going to Watseka tomorrow first thing, Zalliker told the board. This weekend, I will be in Watseka. I will be in Watseka this weekend. Everyone else, watch yourselves. The village clerk stood up and said she would be calling the sheriff's office because Tasek was threatening the board. Tasek then left the building before deputies arrived. Among other items at the meeting, former village clerk Regina Tasek asked the board if something could be done about one of her neighbor's dogs that is out all day and does nothing but bark. A letter will be sent to them, she was told. Now, from the Elliott Village Board, clerk's husband appointed as trustee. Elliott. Elliott trustees dispatched a dozen agenda items in good time during their November 11th regular board meeting. They also approved a new board member. Village President Josh Rowley's recommendation to appoint Josh Kaufman was ratified by the board. Kaufman will fill the trustee seat vacated by Meg Fairchild, who has moved from the village and submitted a notarized letter of resignation. Kaufman is the husband of newly appointed village clerk Miranda Kaufman, and he will be sworn in at the village board's December 9th meeting. In other business at the meeting, Trustee Sylvia Widener reported her review of the neighboring town's ordinances about chickens in an incorporated area. After hearing her report, trustees voted that the ordinance allowing chickens will now specify the maximum flock size is 5 and 0 roosters will be allowed. Current violators will be notified of the change. And board members made plans to amend nuisance ordinance to make clear that no vehicles, pieces of equipment, or debris can be located on the village right-of-way on side of streets. Final updates will be discussed at a future meeting. In the meantime, those using the sides of streets inappropriately will be notified with a letter specifying the need for traffic safety and efficient snowplow operations. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.